Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I have to point out, he's not talking about the one mourning because their life is not going as planned. The prophet spoke of those that mourned in Zion. They mourned for the state of the nation. They mourned for the defilement in the land. They mourned for what they saw around them, and they sought God and they prayed, but he said, you will be comforted, and the comfort was going to be the Redeemer that would come. And blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I may not get them in order. Blessed are the peacemakers, and those that refuse to have an enemy. And are you one that refused to have an enemy? You say, well, there's people that gladly be my enemy. I'm not talking about them. But there are those that refuse to have an enemy. Because how can you have someone be your enemy that you love? Because Jesus said, love your enemy. And he said, pray for them that despitefully use you. How can they, the one you're praying for, how can they be your enemy? I begin to think of these that Jesus said were blessed. And he was not giving a how-to, and he's not telling you what you ought to be, but he was giving a description of the kingdom of God and those that dwell therein. He was giving a description of what he would bring into being by his sacrifice upon the cross, a blessed people that would hunger and thirst after righteousness, and a blessed people that would be merciful, a blessed people that would have these attributes of their Father. I begin to see that this was, in a sense, a description of eternal life. That though eternal life is not something you can touch with your natural hand in the sense of a tangible, yet John said we did touch eternal life in 1 John. He said, we handled the word of life. For life was manifested. He said, we've seen it. Do you understand this morning that you can see eternal life? He said, we've seen eternal life. We've heard eternal life. And it wasn't just a commandment of how you should be or what you should be or what you should do. Because John was speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came into the world, he said, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the life that was Christ, the life that was in Jesus Christ, was not just something that you knew that he had because he was of God, but it was something they could see. It was something they could hear. It was something even John says we could touch or we could handle. Eternal life, he said, for life was manifested. And he says, and we declare unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. And in my heart and still in my spirit this morning was this issue of eternal life. What is eternal life? What is this life that they saw that so captivated them, that so arrested them? It was the life of God that filled Jesus Christ, that was His source, that was His essence. And yet, eternal life did not begin that day in a manger or that day at the River Jordan. Because eternal life is the life of God Himself. And I want you to see that. That's the first thing to understand about eternal life is before you were, there was life. Understand that there was life. Paul will tell Titus, he's an apostle and called of God in hope of eternal life, which God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began. And he's not saying that he's an apostle hoping for eternal life, but that's his ministry. The hope of eternal life that's promised to humanity. that God promised before the world began that He would give His life unto man, unto humanity. It was a promise that God made, and we see it when He said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Let us make him." And it was a promise that the life that was God, that was in God, would be given to this creation, to this creature. It was God's promise that the life in you would be the life that always was. And the life of God that had no beginning, because He is the beginning. And I want to grasp that, if we're going to understand eternal life, is to understand this first, as it always was. Because God always was and is. So eternal life always was, but not only is life always was, it always shall be. That's why we call it eternal life. It always shall be. It cannot die. It cannot cease to be, because it is the life of God. And the reason I'm starting here this morning is sometimes we think eternal life began when we confessed Jesus, or we believed upon Jesus Christ. That's when our eternal life began. No, that's when you receive that has always been and always shall be more than an eternal existence, but the life of God Himself given unto man. And when you see that, begin to comprehend the magnitude of that, it just begins to overwhelm you. And this is more. People think of, well, that I might have everlasting life. And they think of it in terms, well, when I die, I'm not going to die. I'm going to go to heaven. Well, that's a glorious truth. But that is so short of what eternal life is. Because that is someone thinking that God takes my existence and He makes it eternal. He takes what I am, He's going to make that eternal. No, no. He promised to give you that eternal life that always was and that always shall be. And you could be a possessor of eternal life. You know, let that hit you. Let that grab hold of you. That this promise of eternal life is something far bigger than you and I. It's vaster than our existence. It's the greatest treasure of the universe that is God Himself. And it's promised to humanity. Promised to you and I. And the issue is, and I understand this, people say, well, I have eternal life. That means that signed, sealed, and delivered, I could never miss heaven. All these different doctrines that come up just because it's called eternal life. And they don't understand that regardless of what happens, and I want you to hear this, of what course you take, of what happens to you, eternal life will never change. There will be those who have it, and there will be those who have it not. But it will never change. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Brother Surface preaches this so much, but I just have to stop and qualify it with this. If you understand who Christ is, from the beginning, and what God promised that He would do when He came. If you understand that, and then when you understand that, still believe that Jesus is the Christ, and you can mark it down, the one that believes that is born of God. It is impossible that they be the same in any way. If they understand who Christ is from the beginning and what He came in the world to do. See, and it's been that way for most of my life. We live in a day that most people, the most they know of Christ is it must be Jesus' last name. Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you this, the Jews loved Christ while they were crucifying Jesus. They loved Christ, or they loved their belief in Christ, or their idea of Christ. Because before anyone ever heard the name Jesus, there was the promises of Christ to come. The Christ, the Redeemer, the Messiah, come into the world to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. And they loved Christ, but they killed Christ. Because they did not know that Jesus is the Christ. And so that understanding of Christ, who He is from the beginning, what He came to do, is the basis John makes this statement that whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves Him that beget loves Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Why are they not grievous? For whatsoever is born of God, or whosoever is born of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And just briefly, this is not your ability to believe, but it's that gospel you believe. If you believe the truth of Christ, His mission, His purpose, what He accomplished, that's your faith that makes you an overcomer, that changes everything, that changes you, that transforms you. And He says, who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is He, and this is where the Lord brought me last night, and I was shocked that He brought me there, and I almost said, Lord, I can't go there. But this is the passage He brought me to. This is He, who the one that overcomes, the one that's born of God, the one that has the victory that overcomes the world. You know, I referenced just a minute ago when I hear so many people talk about how hard it is to serve God. And that doesn't even compute. I'm just going to be honest with you. That doesn't even compute. It's a joy to serve the Lord. And it's a joy to have Him with you in the day and in the night hours, to have Him carry you through trials and circumstance, through tests, through attacks, and see His hand over again. It's not, Lord, it's so hard to go with you. It's, Lord, what would I do without you? What would I do without your tender mercies and your grace, your loving kindness and the victory that you've given to me? What would I do without that? And He says this, He's this overcomer. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. And I want to stop here and look at this. The one that overcomes, the one that has the victory, the one that is born of God. He said, this is the one that came by water and blood. And I've heard a lot of teachings, a lot of different doctrines, going to many different extremes on this. But He tells you what He's talking about. Don't you to see that? What are you talking about, water and blood? He said, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Jesus. Did you see that? This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. He's going to explain that to us in a little bit. He's not talking about an ordinance, and He's not talking about the mother's womb. I want to tell you, we talk about the water of the mother's womb. And yes, there's a water of the mother's womb. And there's an ordinance of water baptism. But He's not talking about either here. He's talking about, He explains it to us, that I'm talking about coming by Jesus Christ. This is He, the one that overcomes. It comes by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness. because the Spirit is true. And someone says, well, it's talking about the waters of the womb and the blood of Christ, or the waters of baptism and the blood of Christ. No, it's all Jesus Christ. I want you to see that. If you believe the Word of God, it's all Jesus Christ. And He says this, and it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is true. I have to go back quickly to John, the 19th chapter, just to read something for you. Because it's the same apostle that wrote both of these books, and so many of the phrases he uses are the same. In the 34th and 35th verse, Brother Jimmy, if you'll put it up there, of John 19. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side forthwith, and forthwith came out water and blood. Now you remember this story. Jesus is dead upon the cross. They come to break their legs so that they would die quicker. They found that He was already dead. And you might say, just to make sure, a soldier took a spear and ran it up into the side of Jesus, into that cavity there where the waters are supposed to pour out. Where if you pierce a dead man doesn't bleed. But here, He's dead upon the cross, and forthwith came there water and blood. And he that saw it bear record. Didn't John say in 1 John that he that bears record, this is the Spirit that bears record, and his record is true. Well, he that saw it, you think, well, this is John. Then of course John saw it. But John understands that someone greater than him saw it. Someone greater than he saw it. And that's who John, he that saw it bear record. That's why he'll say many years later, it is the Spirit that bears record, and His Spirit is true. And He says this, He that saw it bear record, and His record is true. And He knoweth that He said true, that you might believe. Now, I came to this, and we're going back to the 5th chapter of 1 John. And if you'll stay with me this morning, I want you to see something in the 5th chapter of John, he said, this is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. And you understand now why he's saying it's Jesus Christ, because this water and blood both poured out of the side of Jesus Christ. You have to understand, don't get sidetracked, don't get taken away with winds of doctrine and the teachings of man. But he said, it's the water and the blood that poured out of the side of Jesus Christ. And he said, the Spirit bear witness. Why did the Spirit bear witness? Because for this sacrifice to be complete, it had to fulfill the pattern. And the pattern had the waters mingled with the blood and the waters of purification that in type would purify the people. And it had to be according to the pattern. Well, when Jesus hung on the cross, the Lamb of God, and they ran the spear, the waters of our purification mingled with His own blood poured out. And He's saying, the one that comes to God by this overcomes the world. And I want you to hear me. They overcome. They're born of God. They have the victory. They come to God by this. Well, I want you to, let's stay with this a little bit. And it is the Spirit that bears witness. It's the Spirit that bore witness of that sacrifice, that it was complete and perfect. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. He's just telling you that which always was and always shall be. The Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost for all time have bore witness from heaven. For all eternity, the Spirit of Christ, Peter says, was in the prophets. The Holy Ghost moved upon the prophets of old. The Father would speak of this suffering Messiah, of this Lamb that would come, of the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. He's not just saying that the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are in heaven looking and bearing witness. There's been a witness since the first words of this Bible were penned. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. It was the witness of the Father and of His Son that would come and destroy the works of the devil. And it's the Father bearing witness, and it's the Word bearing witness, and it's the Holy Ghost. And that's why we preach those prophets. That's why we tell you that Abraham saw a lamb that God would provide, and John knew that it would take away the sin of the world. And that's why we tell you of Gabriel's words that He will make an end of sin. He will make reconciliation for iniquity. He will bring in everlasting righteousness. That's why we tell you that there's a fountain open for sin and uncleanness, that though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. Why? Because it's the witness of the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost for all time, giving witness of this great redemption, so that you may know, so that you may believe, so that you may understand, and so that you may receive. I want to tell you this. John writes in his gospel, he says, these things write that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through His name. And the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost for all eternity bearing witness that God has promised life and He sent His Son to bring it into being for us. And this is the promise of eternal life. But He said this, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. These three are one. And Jesus said, My Father and I are one. These three are one. Their witness is one. Their record is one. They are one. But then He says this, there are three that bear witness in earth. And this is what the Lord spoke to me last night. I know the Lord spoke this to me. He said, there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. And it's the word in that the Lord spoke to me. And how the Lord can take such a little word and make it explode. Because I want to tell you this morning, you are the one that these three agree in. I want you to see that this morning. This is where we're going to settle down in this message. That you are the one, you that have eternal life, you that know the Father, you that have the Son, you are the one that these three agree in. John will make this statement. You can turn over there if you wish, or later. Just stay with me, Brother Jimmy. He writes this. He said, we know Him if we keep His commandments, if I'm phrasing that right. And then the last part of that verse, he said, we know that He abides in us. How? By the Spirit that He has given us. I want to tell you, we know that He abides in us. I want to tell you a witness that we have that's in us. We know that He abides in us by the Spirit that He gives us. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, you can know if the Spirit that's in you is the Spirit that you've received of God. You can know that. You say, well, it's because I talk in tongues. No, that's not how you know that. I believe in speaking in other tongues. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I've seen more carnal tongue talkers in my life than I care to count. I ought to tell you that it's a carnal thing that don't have the Spirit of Christ. And there's a difference that it's not some spiritual manifestation per se that you say, I know that I know Him, or I know that He abides in me, or by this is what agrees in me. But He said it's the Spirit that He has given you. And it's the Spirit of Christ. Doesn't the Word of God tell us that because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our heart, crying, Abba, Father? I want to tell you, one of the greatest proofs of a healthy birth is a hungry baby. I want to hear you. And someone's born of God, they can't explain it, but a hunger comes alive in them for the things of God, for the things of Christ. It's crying, Abba, Father, Father, I'm from You. I'm of You. This life is Your life, and I must have You. And I want to tell you, when Jesus said, blessed are you that hunger and thirst after righteousness, He's not telling you to try to work up a hunger. He's blessing the babes in Christ. He's blessing the children of God. You are blessed because you're a child of God, and you shall be filled. And that's why I said those Beatitudes are a description of the kingdom of God. They're a description of the inhabitants of that kingdom. And then they're blessed. And you can know what Spirit dwells in you. John spends this epistle describing that Spirit. God is love. He that loveth knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. You can know what Spirit dwells in you. John would write this, that he that hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. It doesn't matter how religious you are and how many scriptures you can quote, if hatred abides, eternal life does not. You say, you can't say that. John said that. If John said that, I think I can say that. Because there's a Spirit that's in you that bears witness. John will tell you that he that is born of God does not commit sin. And you can know. Someone wrote to me a few weeks ago on these Simply Christ newsletters that we send out every week. And we were talking about born of God and those that were not born of God. And they wrote, they said, but, you know, our spirit's born of God. But our soul is not born of God, and it's got to be renewed. We've got to get the sin out. We've got to get the darkness out. And we've got, well, that's fine philosophy, but it's not the Word of God. The Scripture says, seeing you've purified your souls and obeying the truth. You know how you obey the truth. It's not a list of commandments. The truth that you obeyed was repent and believe the gospel. And what He said, you purified your souls, being born again. And I want to tell you, when you're born of God, it's not limited to a part, to a parcel, but it is the whole. Any man that's in Christ or woman is a new creation. A new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God. And until we quit parceling it out, we'll never know the reality of it. But He said, that Spirit which is within you is given witness. And we'll get back to our text. There are three that bear witness in earth. See, it's not the Father speaking from heaven. It's not the eternal Word that was made flesh. It's not the Holy Ghost that moved upon the prophets that He's talking about now. Those are still bearing witness from heaven. But there's a witness in earth, and it's in you. Do you see that? These agree in you. In these agree in one. And the spirit, what spirit are you of? What is your heart? And someone, when I answered this person, I went to the same scripture people use to try to show a continual warfare for a child of God. Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and you cannot do the things that you would. And they said, that's the reason you can't serve God, because the flesh is lusting against the Spirit. And you missed the point. He said, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not. Because when you're born of the Spirit, the desires of the Spirit are taking you this way. When the desires of the flesh took you that way. And he says, if you're walking in the Spirit, you can't do what you were doing because it's so different. It's so far away. It's so far apart. And he said, you cannot. It's not, well, I could. I want to tell you, you find someone born of God, these lips used to lie, and you're put in the situation to deceive and to lie, and you... It's the truth. Quit beating around the bush, what are you trying to say? You say, well, the lips can lie, yeah, but the heart can't. Amen. The deceiver is washed away. Amen. All those things that were of the old, and they're washed away. They're washed away. All things are become new. And he said, by the Spirit. These three, there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit. Oh, and he brought us back. To what? The water and the blood are agreeing in one. And I want you to see this. If you don't understand what the apostles taught about the water and the blood, you will never see how they agree in. But I want to tell you, I was baptized many, many years ago. But that baptism is not agreeing in me today. I want to tell you, you hear me, it's not agreeing in me. But these three agree in one. I turn quickly in one place I need to go. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 19th verse. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. He's talking about, come on in to the presence of God. With a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You know what an evil conscience is? You say, well, that's where I feel bad on Saturday nights because of what I did Saturday night. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, so wipe away this evil conscience. Let me feel good about what I did Saturday night. That's absurd. An evil conscience, the word conscience speaks of the moral consciousness, which describe the inner thoughts and feelings of a person. He's talking about what works on the inside, what moves you, the thing you've told no one, the thing that you think is even hidden from God by the blood of Christ. The evil conscience, the moral consciousness, the inner working. Doesn't the Scripture tell us, is it the 9th chapter of Hebrews, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Let me put it In the other words of Jesus, He will make you free from the bondage of sin, from the chains of darkness, so that you can serve God in righteousness and holiness all the days of your life. He will do that for you. It's the blood of Christ shed to sanctify the people, shed to purge the conscience. And I want to tell you, I didn't see the crimson blood washing over me, but I was there when it happened. And I didn't see the fountain open from heaven, but I remember the hour that it cleansed my soul. And I didn't see Him get in my inner thoughts and feelings and wash the ungodliness away, but I remember the moment that He left. And I want to tell you, 34 years later, the blood is still bearing witness with the Spirit. It still agrees in one. And then He says this. He says, our hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies are washed with pure water. And throw away the thought that the Spirit's holy and the body's sinful. Just cast it out. Throw it in the garbage pail. Because in this washing of regeneration, He washes the conscience and He washes the body. And the blood sanctifies the Spirit, and the water that poured out washes the members and makes you every bit whole. Someone said, I've never heard that. Well, it's only been in the Scripture for almost 2,000 years. And the washing of the body. The Apostle Paul says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the temple of God is holy. You know, that's the reason you can lift up holy hands to God. These hands, and though it be almost 35 years ago, I can still remember the vileness. But thank God, Brother Surface, I look at these hands, I say, but they are washed. But they are sanctified. But they are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. And I know people, children of God, that are still troubled by sins past. You know, that it's that they know it's not in their heart, it's not in their conscience, but I did it. These members, this mouth, these hands, these feet, this body, it was me. Yes, it was you. But the Scripture says, come on in. Come on into the holy place with full assurance. What do you mean full assurance? No, without a doubt, that not only has He washed your spirit, but He's washed your body with clean water. That soldier plunging that spear into his side wasn't just wasting that water upon the ground. It was for the cleansing of the believer. And they said, these three agree in one. Let's go back to 1 John 5, where we'll close out. There are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit that He has given you. The water that washed your bodies. The blood that sanctified your soul. They all agree in one, in you. If we receive the witness of men. See, the Spirit and water and the blood are not the witness of men. You know what the witness of men is? And Brother Surface tells of, as a young minister, filling in for another pastor, and preached and got anointed, and was it a Sunday school superintendent, hit the altar, saying, I've been deceiving you folks. I'm not what you think I am. The Sunday school superintendent. Brother Surface, just a young man comes over to pray for him. Well, we can get this right now. pastor's wife and the elders of the church gathered around their Sunday school superintendent and pushed the know-nothing preacher out of the way. Slapped him on, "Oh, brother, you're all right." He said, "I'm not even saved." They're saying, "You're all right. You'll feel better in the morning. This is just something you're going through." I want to tell you, this man was hearing something. He knew that the witness of his spirit and the witness of the blood and the witness of the water were not there. And so man came with the witness of man and man to hold up and to lift up. And if I remember the end of the story, and the man left the church, left his wife, ran off. Oh, that they'd listened to the witness of God rather than the witness of man. People want to come to Christ and we won't let them. Don't listen to that preacher. He goes overboard. Well, listen to the Scripture. You can know. He said there's a spirit that God has given you. There's blood that washes you. There's water that cleanses you. And they all agree. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. It is the witness of God which He has testified of His Son. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness where? In himself. It's not because he gets up in the morning singing, "I feel good." He's told you what the witness is. It's the witness, it's the Spirit. And it's the water and it's the blood, and they agree in one. And he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. I told the story a few years back. I was talking to a man in a place of business and just going to talk about the Lord. And I want to tell you, if you tell me that you believe on Jesus Christ, I'm going to say, "Brother, I'm not the one that searches the thoughts and the intents of any man's heart. But I will tell you this, it won't be long, you'll begin to see what witnesses. And you'll begin to hear from the witnesses that are in a child of God. And you'll begin to know their spirit. And you'll begin to sense the difference that only comes from Christ. And you'll begin to see even their life, their freedom, their victory. Because the Spirit and the water and the blood are in agreement in one." But this man talked a little bit. The baptism of the Holy Ghost came up. And he said, "I got that. I got that a couple months back out at my church." I said, "You did? Praise the Lord." He said, "Yeah, I went up to the front and they prayed for me and said this and said, 'You got it.'" He looked at me and said, there wasn't much to it. So I just begin to talk about, just from the Scripture, about the baptism of God's Spirit. Didn't say nothing about what went on. It wasn't a few minutes. He looked up at me. He said, "I didn't receive that." He said, "I didn't receive the baptism of God's Spirit, did I?" I said, "No." I said, "I knew that, but you needed to know that." I want to tell you, there's a lot of things that are called salvation that are not salvation. That the only witness is the witness of man. But he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. himself. Melanie, something has changed. I know it and you know it. And I see a good number of people. Something has changed. And we're not the only ones that know it. He that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not, God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. When I tell you that Christ came to make an end of sin in you, you don't believe that, take it up with God. He didn't do it through your works. He did it through the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And he that believes not has made God a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life. Now, I just want to point something out. In these verses of Scripture here, the word record, the word witness, are the same word. He's been talking about the witness, and the word is evidence. A witness gives evidence. And the word records, the same word, witness, evidence. He says, there's three evidence givers in the earth. You know that? Some say, we'll only know till we get to heaven. Oh, that sounds like a plan. We'll only know if we're really saved when we get there. Turn your headlights off, get out on the highway, head down as fast as you can, and put it in cruise. And you'll know if it keeps you on the road if you don't hit a tree. And I'm not one. There are those that will take that line of thinking and say, so you need to do this and this and this and this. Salvation is not about what you do. It's about what Christ has done. But there's evidence. And the Spirit that He's given you. And the blood that washed your conscience in the water that washed away your sin is the evidence that's in you. And you know what all that is telling us? Is that God has given us eternal life. I want to tell you, walking among you, are people that possess something that was before there was a universe. Child of God, that works in you. Existed before God said, let there be light. God never said, let there be life. Because life always was. And that which He has given you if you believe in such, before there was a bang to go big. There was eternal life because there was God. And so walking amongst us are men and women, 14-year-olds and 75-year-olds, that possess that which always was. And I want to tell you this, that God always intended that you have. Because if you think that eternal life is eternal existence, you may die without the life of Christ and exist somewhere eternally. And I promise you, you will understand that that is not eternal life. This is a record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is where? Someone tell me where you find eternal life. Now, Michael's pointing here, and he's right, but Michael, read the board. This life is where? First, it's in His Son. He says, but I'm a son of God. Well, hallelujah. But He's talking about this Son, He that hath the Son. See, there is, never has been, and never will be life apart from Christ.